have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host, KBKM.
All right, Arthur, you're up.
Paul and Silas was wrapped up in that Roman jail. Had nobody to go their bail. Silas said, you preach, and Paul said, I'll sing. And just about that hour, something happened. I'm gonna wait till the midnight hour when the Roman guards go to sleep, so I can talk to my heavenly Father up in heaven on the throne. He's the only one I know that can save and deliver my soul in the midnight hour. Yeah, in the midnight hour. I like to be with friends, then again, like to be alone, so I can talk to my heavenly Father. Say it again now. Talk to my heavenly Father up in heaven on the throne. He's the only one I know that can save and deliver my soul in the midnight hour. Oh yeah.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Green. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. We have an awesome show lined up for you tonight as the Bishop tackles kingdom issues and current events. But first, let's receive First Lady Sharon Richard with her faithful financial moments. Good evening, First Lady.
Good evening, Jerry. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. Are you living paycheck to paycheck? In Proverbs 21, verse 20, God tells us that a wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. We all have unexpected expenditures from time to time. It may be car or home repairs. With children, we are often bombarded with different financial requests associated with school activities. You don't know what these expenses will be, but you can be reasonably certain that they will occur. We also have many infrequent expenses, such as quarterly or annual insurance and tax payments, or even an annual vacation. These expenses become infrequent, unplanned for. And of course, we must not forget future needs for our children's education. Yes, there are scholarships and financial aid available, but in most cases, parents are still required to make fairly substantial payments towards the cost of their child's college education. This is particularly true if you do not want your child burdened with debt upon graduation that is equivalent to more than their annual salary. We must also be prepared for a significant reduction in family income if for some reason you are out of work for some period of time. You may be out of work due to a layoff, an injury, and in these times it may be a two-week unpaid furlough. Unfortunately, right now many people are out of work with little savings to help them until they are able to get new employment. Based on my research, basic savings maintained separate from retirement savings should be equivalent to at least 6 months of expenses. While it may take some time to build it, you will eliminate a lot of stress and frustration when those disruptions in your normal income and expenses occur. God wants to help us to be at peace with respect to our finances and accordingly encourages us to plan for future expenses. In Luke 14, verses 28 through 30, Jesus said, "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.'" A budget which allows you to save for your future needs. Open a separate savings account and begin building your savings today. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your gospel news, followed by Open Mic with the Bishop with your host, Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor, and here is this week's gospel news. Gospel singer and songwriter Damon Little began his singing ministry at the age of 5. He and his brothers formed a family group. His first studio recording was with his uncle, the great Clarence Fountain of the Five Blind Boys of Alabama. Born in Baltimore, Maryland, Damon Little spent a portion of his childhood years in Pensacola, Florida. Damon Little's music ministry has taken him to Mexico, Jamaica, Dominican Republic, the Bahamas, the Cayman Islands, and many other places, as well as him being featured on TV1, BET, TVN, and The Word Network. Damon Little signed with Houston, Texas label Worldwide Gospel in 2000 and began producing a string of gospel chart hits, including the title track from his album, You Can't Straddle the Fence, Long As I Got Shoes, and Do Right, How You Gonna Do Right with a Do Wrong Mind. Patrick Dwayne Dobson, born August 24, 1978. He began his singing career in 2012 with the release of the song Open the Heavens. This album was his Billboard release. The song Keep Me was placed on the Wild Gospel 2013 project. Open Heavens, released on May 1st. This was his breakthrough release on the Gospel Albums charts at number 23, the Heat Seeker Albums at number 46, and the song Keep Me it also placed at number 7 on the Hot Gospel Songs chart. In July of 2019, he became the Associate Pastor of the Worship of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship Church in Dallas, Texas, under pastor and founder Tony Evans. Is it true that your race plays a role in your health challenges, that you could possibly be prone to certain illnesses and you're likely to die from them? Well, cultural, economic, and social factors can also influence health and health outcomes. For African Americans, the good news is that we're living longer as a group. During the first 15 years of the century, the death rate among African Americans declined by 25%. Here's a look at the top 8 health concerns for African Americans. Number 8, asthma is more prevalent among Black adults and children. African Americans with asthma are more likely to visit the emergency room and be admitted to the hospital. Number 7, chronic liver disease. 6, cancer. Number 5, stroke is another condition that intertwines with heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, and obesity. Number 4, diabetes. Did you know that diabetes is 60% more common among African Americans compared to other groups? We are also more likely to have serious complications from it, including end-stage kidney disease and limb amputation. Number 3, obesity. In the United States, African Americans have the highest rate of being overweight or obese. Among Black adults, 63% of men and 77% of women are either overweight or obese. This extra weight contributes to the risk factors of high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and diabetes. And all these conditions increase the likelihood of heart disease. Number 2, high blood pressure. High blood pressure is a risk factor for heart disease. High blood pressure tends to develop earlier, be more severe, and is less likely to be controlled in African Americans. Number 1 is heart disease. It remains the number one killer of all Americans, so it's not surprising that it's the leading cause of death in African Americans. However, African Americans are 20% more likely to die from heart disease compared to other groups. Knowing your risk of these conditions can help you to make positive changes to take control of your health. Here's this week's Top 10 Gospel Song. Number 10, Jordan Armstrong, You. 9, In Him There Is No Sorrow, Donald Lawrence and Company. 8, Only One Night Though, Ty Tribbett. 7, I See Good, Moret Brown Clark. 6, Damon Little, No Stressin'. 5, Jonathan McReynolds, Abel. 4, Reminder, J.J. Harrison. 3, Live Again, Kalante Gavin. 2, Trusting God, James Fortune featuring Monica. And our new number one song comes from Bree Barbineau with I Will Wait. Well, that's your top 10 songs and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor, reminding you to connect with me on all social media outlets. You can do that just by going to my website at msninataylor.com. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Beyond the Radio.
Welcome to Beyond the Radio, and you better be smiling.
Beyond the fences.
Wow.
Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
Good evening to you, Nina Taylor. So happy that you would take the time to make the announcement for us. Well, we want to say hello to all of you who are out there by way of radio and social media. I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr. Actually, this is the first time this year that I've had the opportunity to actually be with you as the host. I've been away. I've had a multitude of things. As many of you know, my roles have changed since July of last year when I was a consecrated, bona fide, certified bishop. Since then, God has assigned me with different churches and different ministries that we have to work with, and I'm just so grateful that I have great friends in Elder Lauren Brown, who actually is at a revival tonight. But we do have our other co-host, Pastor Anna Henderson, here with us, and I believe she has someone in tow with her. So good evening to you, Pastor Henderson. How are you?
Good evening, Bishop. I'm so glad to be on the tonight. Looking forward to the discussion.
All right. I understand you have someone in tow with you, somebody who's walking with you, riding
yes,
with you.
Yes, yes, yes. We also have Evangelist Tate, who's on with us tonight. She's been on a couple of times with us, and she's back with us again. Evangelist Tate, say something to the listening audience tonight. Evangelist Tate.
Praise the Lord, saints.
Praise the Lord.
Now, Evangelist Tate, you're on a talk show. One-liners is not going to work, so loosen up, enjoy Jesus, and let's get ready to move forward. We are not doing one-liners tonight.
We come to lift his name on high.
Amen.
And give
so
him
happy
the
to,
glory.
Yes. So
yes.
Happy to have you. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. We do have a few quick announcements before we begin. And one thing I want to let those of you know, on May 22nd through May 25th, Power to Stand Outreach, which is now a partner with the Bridge Network Covenant Association of Covenant Fellowship Churches. Good Lord, I just messed that whole thing up. Let me try this one more time. The Bridge Network Covenant Association of Churches and Fellowships is having their annual convocation May 22nd through May 25th in San Bernardino, California, under the leadership of His Grace Bishop Faraja Kafela. For those of you that desire to meet us there in San Bernardino, want to take place or be partnered with us in this great event, please reach out to us at pwrtostand.org or pwrtostand.com. We would love to have you, and every Monday through Friday from 12 noon until 1 o'clock, we have the Power to Stand conference line is open for prayer, and it's Prayer for All Men, which is its actual new name. Prayer for All Men, and it doesn't exclude women. When we say all men, we're talking about men and women. That number is 701-801-9814. Again, 701-801-9814. Now, I said to you, and I know I didn't get a chance to talk with you in detail, Pastor Henderson or Evangelist Tate, but if you have your Bibles, Numbers chapter 13, verses 27 through 30, tonight we're going to discuss the topic of blurred vision. Now, what is exactly blurred vision? Well, let's just give a pretty simple description. It's someone who sees but doesn't see what they really need to see. I know that sounds a bit confusing, but this happens in the Christian world all the time. There are people you try to share things with and help them to understand things, and they pretend like they can't see, although what you're telling them is happening right in front of them. Well, we do have something to share concerning the word out of Numbers chapter 13, verses 27 through 30. But before I begin reading, Pastor Henderson, if you'll be so kind as to pray us in, I will come and read the scripture, and we'll start with our discussion.
Amen, amen. Father, we thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you for the discussion tonight. We thank you for this platform, Father God, to be able to discuss and share topics, oh God, for the edification, the glorification of your name. Lord, bless every listener tonight, every household tonight. Bless, oh God, each one on the panel tonight, Father God. Let us, oh God, be anointed, oh God, to speak, oh God, those things that will be edifying to the life of someone that needs to have a better understanding of your word, your will, and your way. We thank you tonight for this topic, and we thank you for the opportunity to share your word with someone else. And we give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. I had an even better idea. Evangelist Tate, do you have your Bible handy? And if you do,
sir,
would you please?
I'll be honest with you.
Uh-huh.
I am sorry to disappoint you in any kind of way, but I am, what they would say, my vision is impaired. Amen.
I understand. Listen, we're going to just trust God for the remainder of vision that you have, that it improves. So I can read. I just thought I would incorporate you into our session in this time. Well, Numbers 13 says this. It says, and they told him and said, these are the 10 spies talking to Moses. We came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled with and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalek dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. Well, let me throw something out there as I give an opening statement. There was a saying by one Helen Keller. Many of you may have known who Helen Keller was, a political activist, but she was physically impaired, meaning she was blind and was partially paralyzed. And what Helen Keller said, she was interviewed one time, and she said what the interviewer asked the question, what would be worse than being born blind? Helen took a moment, took a deep breath, and then she said in her reply, to have sight without vision. What does it mean to be a person of vision? We can answer and ask that question, but let me give this, and then Pastor Henderson, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give your opening statement, and Evangelist Tate as well, yours. Basically, when you talk about vision, it's the ability to see God's presence, perceive God's power, and to focus on God's plan instead of obstacles. Let me say that one more time. Vision basically is the ability to see God's presence. It is to perceive God's power and to focus on God's plan instead of obstacles. Now, someone basically has defined vision as the ability to see above and beyond the majority. I shared this on one occasion, and then I'm going to release you there, Pastor Henderson. I talked about the eagle and how the eagle has 8 times as many visual cells per pubic centimeter than does a human. At 600 feet, believe it or not, an eagle can spot an object the size of a dime moving through 6-inch blades of grass. The eagle's vision is so sharp that it can see a 3-inch fish jumping in a lake 5 miles away. Now, that's kind of crazy. Eagles can see what most would miss. Eagles can see things that we as humans would not even understand. Now, in talking about vision, the Church of Jesus Christ really does need to have eagle's vision. So I want to start there. In your estimation, either one of you ladies can open up the conference and open up the conversation. In your mind, what actually is vision? What does vision look like to you? Talk to me.
When I think about vision, I think about, as you said, the ability to see beyond what you really see. We recognize that we live in a physical world, but I would think when we look spiritually or have spiritual vision, I believe that we see by faith and that we see the things that we don't see because we believe. And it goes beyond just a physical sight, but it goes to a knowing and an understanding that God is, and that what we don't see is very real. Because a lot of times I think we only limit ourselves to what we see. And I was just sharing with someone the other day, and we were talking about, as kids we used to imagine things and have imagining, I'm going here, and just picturing yourself someplace. And then as we get older, we kind of come out of that that stage of just kind of like imagining, you know, being in a fun place or doing this or I'm doing that. But that imagination is still important because really I believe the imagination or the ability to see what you don't see, I think that it stirs up our faith in God when we have a spiritual insight or intuitiveness to think about it from that perspective, that faith is what we don't see. And the scripture says we walk by faith and not by sight. So I think about vision as being able to see what you don't see because it's annoying beyond what you see.
What about you, Evangelist Tate?
Well, a song came to my mind, and it was Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. So, you know, to me, it's darkness and lightness. You know, first, you know, we was walking in darkness, which referred to sin, and now we walking in the light that refers to salvation. So it made me think about darkness and light.
All right. Well, listen, and I thank you both for your comments. You know, and when we talk about blurred vision, I say that blurred vision in and of itself is the inability to see or allow God's creative powers to be created within us. We all have dreams, plans for the future, and you made mention of it, Pastor Henderson. When we were children, we used to all, and I'm going to ask that you please forgive the noise in the back. This guy working here just decided to start cleaning this area, and for the last 2 hours, nothing was done. The devil is a liar. Oh my goodness. You know, I mean, you just got to understand, when there's a good word coming forth, the enemy likes to distract, but we will not be distracted. But you made mention of it, Pastor Henderson. We do have dreams, we have plans, we have visions. We are in a way, and it's a funny thing, sis, I kid you not, my phone is jumping off the hook. Did I do something wrong today? That's all right. It's okay. Like I said, when a good word's coming forward, the enemy tries his best to distract. We will not be distracted in the name of Jesus. You know, but we got to look at the very fact that vision gets blurred when we don't allow God's creative powers to create within us those dreams and those aspirations, those desires and those passions that have been set up for each and every one of us. You know, we have to understand that when God sets us up in that fashion, God is looking to get glory and honor out of our life. And God relies on us to bring glory and to bring honor to him. But when we allow our vision to be blurred, we take our focus off the Lord of glory and we put it more or less on ourselves. There are multitudes walking around thinking they all that, two bags of chips, a Coke, and a smile. The key basically seems to lie in our ability to be responsive to God's leadership. It's not that God desires to hold back the visions that he gives us, but rather we are unable to believe what he has placed in our hearts to accomplish. Some of us get overwhelmed when God gives us an assignment, and the first thing we want to do is do like King Saul did, run and hide amongst the stuff. Well, if God wanted you to hide, he would have never given you the desire. He would have never given you the vision. He would never given you the aspiration. We allow the division of doubt and unbelief to overwhelm us to the point that we lose the original strength that was imparted to us at the unveiling of that vision. We lose heart when we think the task is too great for us to accomplish. Our Christian vision gets blurred at best, and we may be able to see physically, but if, and you said it already, Pastor Henderson, if your sight is not in focus, you're spiritually handicapped. And a lot of people would tell you, I'm okay. Yeah. You know, God does this and God does that, and the Lord, they'll go back on their past performances and their past accomplishments, and they'll run you down a grocery list of all they have done over the last umpteen years. We have to recognize and realize that yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may never be yours. Live for today and prepare for tomorrow, and let whatever accomplishments you did yesterday stand as a foundation to lead you to your next. Your next can't be now unless you let go of what happened yesterday. We can, you know, we can see what is there, but we can't quite make out the details. This is what I'm talking about when we talk about blurred vision. We can see that God is trying to show us something, but we can't quite make out what it is God wants to see. We can see the words on the page, and Evangelist Tate, you excuse yourself in reading the scripture. I'm going to use you for an example here from a physical standpoint. We can see words on a page, but they're simply jumbled forms that come together and seem like they're tackling each other rather than have comprehensible sentences so that we can develop some thoughts that make some sense. And I'm not picking on you. I was just taking your words when you said that your vision is not what it used to be. Now, I'm going to use you for an example if you don't mind, and I need you to jump in here first chance you get. Spiritually speaking, there are many people who have blurred vision. When our natural vision becomes blurred, we often make an appointment to see an optometrist to either get a new set of glasses, and for those who deal with glaucoma and some of the other eye diseases that come up, the doctor starts prescribing and starts talking about different surgeries and things. And, you know, we have to understand something. It's time for us to get fitted for some kingdom glasses that will enhance and sharpen our focus for kingdom building. Does anybody agree or disagree with that? If you agree, let me know why. And if you disagree, help me understand why. Talk to me, ladies.
I agree, because we do need spiritual wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God. And he said, ask for wisdom. If we lack in wisdom, he said, ask, and he will give us that freely, as well as knowledge and understanding. And so we need that so that we can operate in the kingdom of God. And so with being, you know, that would help us. That would bring in our focus. Amen.
Uh-huh. All right. What about you, Pastor Henderson?
Amen. And I was thinking also about the scripture that says, where there's no vision, the people perish. You know?
Yes.
With a lack of understanding. That vision is so important to us advancing the kingdom of God, especially in this hour. And as you talked about those spiritual glasses, I think we really need those spiritual glasses. And then I thought about the scripture that says when Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus, and he says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding be open, be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And, you know, that eye is the center of a lot of things in our life. You know, without that right eye, you know, without the right vision, you're stumbling in the darkness, you know.
That's right.
When you're thinking about, you were talking about earlier about, you know, when I leave the light turned off and I'm trying to navigate in my room to find something, you know, I'm prone to fall because I don't really know everything, you know, where it's at. But the light adds, helps me to be able to navigate without constantly falling. And after a while, you can, you know, learn your way around in the dark. But God wants us to have those spiritual glasses on so that we're not constantly stumbling over his word. And we're not falling into darkness, into traps, because he wants us to be in the know. He wants us to know his will. He wants us to know what our responsibility is in these last days. He wants us to step up, amen, and begin to be who he said we are as the church. And I think sometimes we have on these glasses that, you know, the Bible says we look through a glass darkly. Well, when you have the wrong glasses on, the wrong spiritual perception, you're seeing everything through the dark lenses of this world.
Yeah.
And that's when you start compromising. That's when you start no longer thinking that the church is relevant, his word is not relevant, that you don't have to be obedient to the word. You know, all of these things come when you take off those spiritual glasses and you take off that spiritual insight and you begin to see the things through the world's point of view, then your vision becomes blurred.
Amen. Amen. And see, that becomes very important because of the very fact that when you start seeing the way the world sees, that means you're manipulating. That means you're looking for shortcuts. That means you're looking for the quick fix. And in God's kingdom and in God's base perspectives, there is no quick fix. I often use this analogy found in John 12:24, where Jesus, when he spoke of his death, burial, and resurrection, he used the phrase, or he used the metaphor, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And what we get out of that is the very fact Jesus is helping us to see that, you know, kernel of corn in its natural state, it's a single kernel that doesn't look like it can do much. It doesn't look like it's going to get much done. But if it is properly planted in the right soil, if it is cared for and watered, it can germinate, grow root, and grow up into a strong, sturdy plant that has the ability to produce multiple fruit that others would benefit from. What am I trying to say? When we have focus in Christ, we not only benefit from that, but others benefit as a result of us being able to follow Jesus Christ. But the minute we lose focus, the minute we lose sight, the minute we take our eyes off of Jesus Christ, the minute we start looking back at yesterday and what yesterday looked like, Paul said it best, you know, forgetting those things behind and pressing for those things in front of us. Our job is to press for the mark of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. And when your vision gets blurred, you're too busy trying to live on yesterday to the fact that you don't get anything done today and you miss out on what's coming tomorrow because you're still stuck in yesterday. Blurred vision has a way of putting you at a disadvantage. When you are focused on the Lord's eyes, I think you said it a little earlier, Pastor Henderson, you focus on the Lord, he opens the eyes of your understanding. You start understanding the mysteries of the kingdom. You start realizing what it is God wants us to do. Now, I don't want to pick at anybody or throw rocks at any given point in time, but too many Christians think that all you got to do is love, 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 and everything's going to be all right. No, sweetheart, there is more to do than just love, 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 love. You've got work, 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 work to do as well. How are others going to come to know who Jesus is? How are they going to experience the power of his resurrections and the fellowship of his suffering if you are not willing to step in and do your part in terms of teaching and helping people to and instructing and helping people to understand where God wants to take them? Sometimes God wants to take us places, but we will not allow him to take us because we're too fearful of what's in front of us. And this is what we're looking at in Numbers chapter 13. It literally actually gives us a paradigm, basically a model and illustration of both vision as well as focus. Now, many of us know the story, but for those of you who have never heard it before by way of radio, when the children of Israel were led forth from the labor, the life of labor that they lived in Egyptian captivity, they set their eyes on the land of promise. A land that Jesus, that God told them that they were going to possess. Now, the very first thing God did was put the positive within each and every one of them to let them know they're on their way to possessing something that's going to be their very own. How many times has God shared with us vision and has told us that he's about to do something for us that's specifically for us? You know, when these guys left Egypt, I hear you. We're going to get to that in a minute. These guys the Israelites picked up the bones of family and friends, and they carried them forth from the torturous land of Egypt in search of the land that they would actually call their own. Now, this land of their destiny was to be similar to the paradise, the very same paradise that surrounded Adam and Eve so many centuries ago. And it was always God's plan to be a blessing to his people and to bless his people. Now, the land of promise, they had come to a point and place where they had traveled for a number of days, and now they could actually see the promised land, the land of promise, on the horizon. The children of Israel had been through many trials, troubles, tribulations, persecutions, and now they stood on the precipice, on the border of the land of paradise that God said they could have. Moses had led them from captivity to this particular place, and now the word of the Lord comes to Moses, and the Lord tells Moses to send men out that they may search the land of Canaan, which he's going to give children of Israel. And Moses did as he was commanded, and he sent out 12 men, one from every tribe of Israel, to scout out the land. What can we actually learn from this passage as we focus in on Numbers chapter 13, verses 27 through 30? There are a number of things we can learn. First and foremost, and I'm going to start running this down. I don't know how much time we're going to have, but, 10 o'clock, we're going to call it a day. The first thing we need to understand that, beloved, if we are going to erase and eradicate blurred vision, we have to focus on the facts. What are the facts of this particular case? What are the facts of this particular chapter and this particular story that we're talking about? Either one of you have an idea what it is, just name me one. What are the facts? Come on, y'all, don't get
the
quiet
fact
on me
is
now.
God said he give, the fact is God said he was giving them the land. That's
Thank
the
you.
Fact.
Now, I'm glad you said that, Evangelist Tate. If God promised Israel that he was going to give them the land, let's now break it down to you and I and those who are listening to us right now. Did God make a promise to you about something? If the answer to that is yes, the fact is if God said it, that settles it. I like what the psalmist said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God's not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should have to repent. If God says a thing, it shall come to pass. Anybody agree with that, disagree with that?
I totally agree with that because God is faithful. His word declares that he is not a God that he should lie, nor the son of man that he will repent. That means he will not change his mind. We serve a faithful God, and his word declares that his word is forever settled in heavens, and we can trust him. And I think that when our vision becomes dull, I think that's when we begin to take our eyes off of his word. We begin to take our eyes off of him. And that's why I believe Apostle Paul tells us in Hebrews 12, to looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, we have to get to a place where we keep our focus on Jesus, keep our focus
that's
on the word, keep
word.
Our focus on his promises. No matter what's going on, once you're focused, it's like nothing else matters. It's like I'm fixed here. My mind is made up, and you don't let nothing distort that picture because you're going somewhere. That picture is going to take you to another place. And, if you take your mind off that picture or you take your heart off that picture, you start doubting. You start thinking about the woulda, coulda, shoulda. But as long as you keep thinking about Jesus is with me, his word is true, his promises are yea and amen, I'm going to hold on to this word. You're fixing your vision on the right thing.
Yes.
And that
and
makes a difference in our self-walk.
I have to agree with you. God's perspective regarding the land, verse 27, lets us know. He told them that the land was going to be a magnificent country. It was going to flow with milk and honey. God told this to Moses. Moses shared this with the people. And when Moses sent out those 12 spies, they came back with the report. We arrived in the land you sent us to see, and indeed it is a magnificent country. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, they brought back some of the fruit as proof. They brought back huge clusters of grapes. They brought back pomegranates, and they brought back other fruits. This basic was a land that was lit, and the phrase flowing with milk and honey. Can anybody explain to me what that phrase means, milk and honey? It's
riches.
Nourishing.
Blessings.
Yes. It's, yes. Yes.
The blessings
exactly.
of God. Amen.
There you go. It's a land that is rich. It's a land that is nourishing. It's a land that is nutritious. It's a land that is wholesome and holistic. It's a land, it's some of the best land here on the face of the earth. And the spies came even to the brook of Eshcol to cut down that cluster of grapes, and they had to bear it up between two staffs. That's how huge those grape clusters were. Okay, they brought pomegranates and they brought back figs, and you know, they turned around and said, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good, and this was as close to paradise as you could possibly get on the face of the earth after the fall. And you know, it's always been God's will to bless his people. His desire for his people is to experience the very best of his creation, and sometimes we don't experience the best because we're always looking for the worst. I don't know, since the fall of man, and you know, negativity comes to a lot of people, and we were positive, but some folk just can't help themselves. They seem to like the cesspool of negativity. How do we keep these people from blurring their own vision? Come on, ladies, I need some help here. How do we keep them from blurring their own vision? How do we keep them from losing their focus? I'm going to start right here, and then maybe one of you can jump in. I read in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, where Paul told the church at Colossae to set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Why? Because your life is hid with God. Your life is hid in God through Christ Jesus. But I like verse 5. If you are going to maintain your vision and not blur your vision, you've got to mortify the deeds of your flesh. Am I making any kind of sense right now?
Oh, yes, you are. Amen. Yes, we cannot lean to our own understanding.
You got
Amen.
That right. Amen. Where you at? Where, wake up over there, Henderson. Sit up. Sit straight up.
I totally agree. I totally. I really do. And that's so true. Because I think that's key, what Evangelist Tate said, because when you stop leaning on your understanding, you start leaning on Christ. And that leaning also gives you that perspective to see God, see things through God's way, see things through God's eyes. And that ought to be our prayers. Lord, let me see through your eyes. Let me have the perception of my situation the way you see the perception. Because you know what? We never see ourselves the way others see us. We never see our situation light. Yes, you know? And so God wants to say, you know, come closer to me so I can give you a better look. I'm reminded of the man who, I believe that he was blind, and he says, how do you see him? He says, I see many trees, you know. He gave him another touch, you know, so that he could have the vision that he needed to have. And there's so many implications that you can get out of that, but I think sometimes as believers, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, give me another touch. Give me another better vision of how I'm seeing this thing, because when we don't see it the way God sees it, we are out of alignment, and we start trying to fix things. We start trying to go to the right or to the left. And sometimes what it looks like to us is not what it looks like to God. And sometimes God put us in precarious situations that look uncomfortable. Like he told them that the land was theirs, but when they saw those giants, they were no longer thinking about the milk and the honey and the plentiness and all the good things. All they could think, their focus went from the good to looking at the giants.
Can I say it another way? It went from the promise to the problem. From the promise to the problem.
Yes, it did.
Is what actually happened.
Yes, it did. Yes, it
you know,
did.
And it's funny that you would make mention of that. Let me let you finish what you're saying, because you're putting some good word out there. And I want whoever's listening to stop focusing on the problem and start focusing on the promise. This
Hallelujah.
Is where your blessing yes. is. This is where your blessing is. You know, and we could basically see the principle of the promise. It was put forth even in the book of Genesis. God said to them on one occasion to be fruitful and multiply, to replenish the earth, to subdue the earth, to have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the face of the earth. And since the fall of Adam and Eve, God continually made provision vision for reconciliation between himself and his creation, which came eventually through the Lord Jesus Christ. That should burn deep in our spirit each and every time we start focusing on how good God has been to us. God has made provision for reconciliation. You do not have to walk around with blurred vision. Your vision can be cleared up, but you've got to do it God's way. This is who got to do it God's way. You know, in the Old Testament, God's provision for reconciliation was accomplished by an elaborate system of sacrifices. And what I mean by that is from the time God set up the ordinance, the blood of bulls and the blood of goats was shed on a constant, consistent basis. When God set up the priesthood, he set up 24 order of priests, 70 priests who ministered day and night around the clock, 24/7, each order doing what they're supposed to do, the Levitical priesthood doing what they needed to do, so on and so forth. But we found out through time that even with the shedding of the blood of bulls and the blood of goats, turtle doves and such things as that, it only temporarily covered the sin. It never actually cleansed the sin. But in the New Testament, reconciliation has been accomplished by the blood of Jesus Christ shed on Calvary's cross, and all things were of God who reconciled us to Christ. He reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus. I love the very fact that it behooved Jesus to be made like unto us, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in everything pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. We have to understand that it was the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that he through his poverty might become rich and make us rich in the things that pertain to life and godliness. The children of Israel, God's people, were standing on the verge of the land of promise, a great land of blessing, and all that could be hoped for lied right in front of them. The end of famine, no more disease, no more battles with the enemy and being brought into captivity was just across the river. And although God's people were not yet there, the land was theirs. It's a beautiful thing that you can possess something before you ever actually get your hands on it. I don't want you to miss that point this morning. Listen to me. I don't need you to miss this. I don't need you to lose this. The land belonged to them because God said so. You might say, well, you know, I thought the scripture said that the land belonged to the Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and all the other ites that were there. No. These were the warring nations that have occupied the land. We talked about this earlier, Pastor Henderson, when we talked about the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Here is another example of the wealth of the wicked being laid up for the righteous. These warring nations may have been occupying the land, but the land did not belong to them. The land of promise belonged to the children of God, and we're trying to tell somebody today, the land of promise is yours. The promise that God promised you belongs to you. Canaan land may have been occupied by hostile forces, but it still belonged to the people of God, and I need some of us to understand that the land of promise is ours. It belongs to God's people. How can you make that bold assertion? I'll tell you how you can make it. You have to understand what God's word says. God told Moses to send men out. He told Moses to send men out and to go search out the land. And he didn't want them to search it out to see if what he was saying is true. He wanted them to search that land out so that they could see that what he was saying is true. And how many of us believe that God says what he means and means what he says? Whoever you are listening today, you got to understand if God said a thing, it shall. It shall. It's mandatory. It has to happen. It will come to pass. If he says the land which I will give you, or this which I'm going to do for you, or that which I'm going to prevent from taking you over, if he tells you no weapon formed against you shall not prosper, if he says if you walk, not run, not skip, not ride a bicycle or a Hot Wheel, through the fire. He says if you walk through the fire, it will not burn you. Walking probably is the slowest form of transportation that we know as men. Now imagine you walking through flaming fire and not even so much as a singe of the clothes that you're wearing or no smoke in you. Ask Shadrach, Meshach, and that bad Negro. I mean, and Abednego. I always say that. I'm sorry. But anyway, ask them three what it's like to walk through fire. Do you not recognize, spiritually speaking, you can walk through fire? But if your vision is blurred, you can rest assured your mind, you're going to be nervous because you can't see. You're going to be nervous because you're not sure. You're going to be nervous because there's a level of doubt. You're going to be nervous because of unbelief. Blurred vision is dangerous. Blurred vision is dangerous. Amen.
Yes, it is.
All right,
they came
anybody
so
want to
add close
anything
to receiving.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they came
it was
so
their
close.
Land.
They came
long
so close.
Think
and
about
then,
this.
And still wasn't
think about
evil.
It. Think about it, though. Here you are, 3 days in the wilderness. You come to the precipice. All you got to do is cross the River Jordan. And then you are in the promises that God, some of us today, right now as we speak, listening to us by way of radio, you are on the brink of your blessing, the brink of breakthrough. All you have to do is cross the Jordan and you walk into the land of promise. But you're being distracted by drugs. You're being distracted by alcohol. You're being distracted by illicit sexual acts. You're being distracted by excessive gambling. You're being distracted by your crazy drinking habits. You're being distracted by people that mean you no good, people that have no plan, no purpose in life, and they want to make sure that you're does not get fulfilled. You are being distracted.
Yes.
This is a word.
Get your vision back. Get your vision back. Get your vision back.
Thank
Amen.
You. Say that one more time so somebody can hear you.
Yes, get your vision back. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Get your vision back. Now, how do I get it back?
We get our vision back, but God said, if you love me, you will obey and keep my commandments. For my commandment is not a burden. And the reason why God's commandment is not a burden, because it benefits us if we do what his word says. So all we got to do is trust in the Lord, his word. Trust in it with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path.
Amen.
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 Oh, yes, he will.
Now,
acknowledge the Lord. Acknowledge him.
We can acknowledge the Lord, but we have some more work to do. See, that's part of it, but we got more work to do. We cannot focus on our end. If you don't believe, then you ain't going nowhere to begin with. Some of you got to take your eyes off of your enemy. See, think about this. When you look at that 13th chapter of Numbers, they brought back a scouting report. While they talked about the blessing of the land, they also pointed out the insurmountable obstacles. Too many times we spend more time focused on obstacles than we do on the blessing, on the promise. We find out that, you know, they turn around and start saying the people there are powerful, their cities are fortified, their cities are large. And then we saw giants in the land. The sons of the Amalekites live in the south, and in the hill country is the Hittites, the Jebusites. And I found this out through study and research that the Jebusites were some of the strongest people, warrior-like people. Now, keep this in mind. Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, these are all literal. I'm sorry, ladies, and whoever's listening, this isn't a racial thing, but these were literal African warriors. Strong African warriors. Strong.
Well, you know what? And that's what we were saying earlier about taking your eyes off of the problem. Is that when you keep your eye on the problem and you take it off of God, what you have just done is you begin to elevate the problem above God. And sometimes
people's idol that's in their life is the idol of the problem, because their focus have shifted from God to the problem. And so now it's all about the problem. Lord, Lord, the problem. Lord, Lord, the problem. God's like saying, well, if you keep your eyes on me, I'll show you that problem is like a little tiny dot in my eye. But because you keep focusing on the problem, the more you focus on it, you're magnifying it. Your vision becomes consumed with the enemy, and so it has become an idol. And we got to, and I believe that the Lord is like saying, tear down the idol of the problem, because that problem is small to me. You know, you done made this idol so big, now you aborted your promise. And God doesn't want us to abort the vision. He doesn't want us to abort the problem because we are focused on, he doesn't want us to abort the promise. He are looking at the promise. I mean, looking at the problem. And they got so close, but because their vision had gotten distorted, they no longer was focused on the problem. They started looking at the giants. And I just want to tell somebody tonight, you're too close now. You're too close now to allow the enemy to magnify the problem in your life. Because God already knew you were going to have the problem when he created. He already knew that you were going to have to deal with some things in life. But God wants you to know that you have victory and you have a promise in him. If you are his tonight, and if you obey his word, that you have a promise in his word, that he said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you, that you're more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. So I just want to encourage someone tonight, don't lose out. You're too close now,
too close.
To abort your destiny and your promise.
Amen.
Don't give up.
Thank you.
Don't give up.
There you go. That's
continue
exactly
to trust
right.
in the Lord. Continue to be obedient. And
yes.
you do. Know that the battle belongs to God. He'll fight your
That's
battle.
That's right.
He'll fight your battle.
He
just
will.
Be obedient. Continue to trust in him, and God will do the rest. Amen.
Yes, he will. Now, last thing we're going to say, if I'm here next week, and I believe that I will be, I want to pick this up. I want to talk about how to lose the grasshopper mentality. There are a lot of people that have a grasshopper mentality. They see giants, and their problems are giants in their lives. And we could focus. I'm going to let you choose whether you want to talk about David and Goliath or if you want to stay here with this story. When you're facing your giants, the one thing you cannot allow yourself to do is feel less than what it is you're facing. The God inside of you is far greater than any problem you ever face. So with that, it's the top of the hour. We're going to stop right there. I want to thank each and every one of you who have been listening to us. This is Open Mic with the Bishop. Our discussion was on blurred vision, and we want to help you to not be blurred in your vision. Perhaps you're one that's trying to wandering your way through life and trying to find some stability, trying to find some peace of mind, some joy divine. Follow us as we follow Christ. This is what we encourage you to do. And it's a real simple thing. Romans 10:9-10, verse 8, first of all, says, what saith it? The word is nigh thee and even in thy mouth. Verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead. Verse 10 says, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It is just that simple, beloved. You simply surrender your heart to the Lord and stop worrying about what you're going to look like, how perfect you are. You have got to allow yourself to grow. It takes time to grow. You don't do this overnight. So in the process, you allow God through the Holy Spirit to develop you. I have yet to see a baby get up out of its mother's womb, come into the world, be 3 minutes old in the world, run into a kitchen and cook an 8-course meal. I don't ever think I'll see that. You know why? Because the baby has to be nurtured. The baby has to be brought to a point where it can at least crawl. And eventually it'll stop crawling and start walking. It may have to hold on to things as it's developing, strengthening its legs. And it holds on to things. Maybe it's using a walker, but it gets to a point where it no longer needs that walker and is able to stand up. And it begins to walk on his own. But it all took time. And this is all I'm saying to you about salvation. It's not going to happen overnight. It will take time. But you got to start somewhere. Give your heart to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. Jesus is at the door of your heart knocking. Won't you let him in? God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Thank you, Pastor Henderson. Thank you, Evangelist Tate, for a wonderful discussion. We're going to end it right here. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, we're going to put the ball in your court. God bless you all.
God bless you.
You've been listening to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, then please consider sowing into this ministry. A $20 gift or more would be appreciated. You can do so through Cash App. Just use $ power to stand or on PayPal, preacher719@gmail.com. On behalf of Bishop Richard and the Open Mic panel, I'm Nina Taylor saying have a blessed week. We'll see you soon.